You can have true healing. You can have true life after those incidents and be used by God. God wants to use you and all of those things. It's not just like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be polished. You just have to be wanting to be used by God, and he will use you no matter where you are, what happened to you, what your story is, what it looks like. And I can be a testimony to that.
Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. This is the place where you will get to anchor your identity in Jesus. Learn how to hear the voice of God and get aligned with his will for your life and get activated into your next bold step of faith. Let's get going. Oh man, I just got off an amazing interview with Jeanette Peterson. I am so excited to share this with you today. Jeanette is delightful. She is the founder of All the King's Women. But before that, she was in the Air Force, and she is a medically disabled vet from the Air Force. And we talk about what that season of life was for her and really dive into the calling of what God is putting on women, specifically you today. What is your mantle? What are you uniquely positioned to carry in this world? So if that interests you, I would absolutely invite you to listen to this show today, share it with a friend, share it with somebody that you see God calling into bigger spaces, more influence. You want to be unapologetic and unstoppable. This is your show. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm excited to introduce you to a new friend of mine, Jeanette Peterson. And fun fact, I was on Jeanette's podcast, Unapologetically Unstoppable, back in the fall. And we just looked this up, episode 167, Untangling Your Faith Through Journaling. And I have to say, Jeanette, I was really encouraged by your interview with me because you read my book. Like, I, not a lot of interviewers actually have the book. And I was so impressed because you were like looking up and you had things underlined. You're like, hey, on page, you know, 132, what, this is what I am noticing. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was such a fun interview. So anybody can go back and listen to that. So she's an incredible podcast host and also the founder of All the King's Women, which I cannot wait to hear about because I feel like that's you and me and probably a lot of our listeners here today, living in California at the moment, military family. So first of all, Jeanette, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be
yes.
here.
Yes. Okay. So just introduce yourself to our listeners, kind of orient yourself in the world. What's your family look like right now? You're living in California. And what branch of the military? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about military life.
Okay. So military life. I joined when I was 21 and I had lived in the same house my entire life until I joined the military. And since then, I think I've moved like 21 times. It's been ridiculous. I was in the military for 10 years and I am a 100% disabled vet. I met my husband while we were in the military and then I got out and he is still in and we've moved, I don't know, 5 times since then. Well, 5 states, more than 5 times. I've got 2 kids. They're 7 and 5. I homeschool them. I was in cybersecurity in the military. And so when I came online to start doing online work, it started with tech. It started with helping people with their automations, with their tech, and all the things that people don't know necessarily when they're like, I want to do XYZ ministry. I want to do XYZ for people. I want to help them with XYZ coaching, consulting, whatever
right, the
that
vision's
is.
There, the passion's there. And yes. then they're like, but how would I do that?
Yes. And so I was like, oh, you just do this, this, and this, because it came easily to my brain. And so that's kind of how I came to the military. We live in California now. We've lived in, I don't know, 7 states or so across the Midwest, East Coast, the West Coast here. Okay. So
what branch really awesome. Of the military are you in?
Oh, the Air Force.
Air Force. So okay. Were you never in Colorado Springs?
Air Force. No, we never were. But my brother-in-law lives there.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that'll be next on there. The docket for you. Is your husband in the Air Force as well?
Yes.
Okay. So I would love to know how a young lady, I know that the military is for everybody, but how did you specifically, how were you called to that space and place? And you mentioned 100% disabled vet. So I'm guessing there's a story there as well. So yeah, share that with us.
So before I joined the military, I was in my hometown, right? And I knew that.
Which was where?
was Marietta, Georgia. Okay. And so I knew that when I lived there, that this was not it. This was not the end point for me. I could just feel that in my spirit. Okay. And so it was 2003 when I graduated high school. So we had been in Iraq for a couple of years. We didn't really know what was happening back then, but I knew that I needed to do something else. I was like, okay, I want to go to college. I want to further my life, but I can't do this by myself. And you know, I was a young, stupid teenager and didn't really go to school as much as I was supposed to and failed a little classes.
Yada, yada, yada.
You know, so I was like, okay, I can go to the community college or I can go to the military. So I was like, I want to support myself. I was very independent and feeling like I want to support myself. I don't want to get loans. I don't want to have to owe anybody anything. I don't want to borrow from anybody. And the job that I have now, I worked at the Jiffy Lube and I was the general manager at a Jiffy Lube, but I was like, I can't afford to go to college and a car and get on my own. So let me just go to the military. My mom was devastated when I told her that because she was like, we're in the middle of a war, Jeanette.
Yeah, you're going to die.
What happens if
That's
you go to war?
Immediate thoughts. Yeah. You're going to die. That's not a good choice for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, it was just so, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, that's not going to happen to me though. Like that's, whatever. Yeah. That's somebody else's future. That's not my future. Mm. And I just believed it. And then I eventually did go to Iraq. I did, you know, go through a lot of things out there, but I think that God called me and I knew that I was never going to be in the military forever. I just knew that it was a stepping stone. So when people were like, why are you going to the military? I didn't know exactly why, but I know that God had called me there to use me for a period of time or to train me in something. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that that was going to be a stepping stone. I knew that for sure. I didn't know what. I didn't know how. But I knew that God was calling me to that. So after I got out of the military, I was kind of jaded because I was medically separated. I had some hip injuries. I had a lot of mental health stuff going on. I was sexually assaulted while I was in the military. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of trauma, mindset stuff. Mm-hmm. I was gaining weight because I was using food to numb, alcohol to numb, all of these different things. And when I got out of the military, I was like really mad. I was mad. I was mad at God. I was mad at the military because I felt like I had given my whole life to it and it wasn't helping me.
It betrayed
me. So was like, yeah, it betrayed me. It was like, it felt like I would always liken it to like the worst, but like best toxic relationship I'd ever been into with a brutal divorce. That's what it felt like. Like they cheated on me. They left me. They said I wasn't good enough, even though I tried so hard. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, now what? And I didn't want to immediately go to God because I was still mad at God. But I did. I went to church. I found a church. I found a girl online that was like, we had moved. This is important to the story. I prayed a prayer with my husband in the tub because I was trying to have a baby and it didn't work. I was doing all the things that you do to have a baby. You track your CV fluid. You pay attention to your cycles. You do all this other stuff. You take your temperatures. I was doing that and it wasn't working. And I was like, I'm literally doing everything correct, everything right in order to have a baby and it's not working. Mm-hmm. So me and my husband got in the tub and I learned this thing in therapy about being naked and vulnerable. So we were naked in the tub. Mm-hmm. And I was being vulnerable with God. And I was just yelling at him, not even sure if he was listening, not even sure if he knew who I was, not even sure about any of those things. But I was just yelling at God. I was like, if you want me to have a baby, then this is up to you. I'm done. I'm not going to track anything anymore. I'm not going to try to do anything. If you want me to do this, God, then this is up to you. But I'm exhausted. I'm not going to try to have a baby anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first surrender. And I didn't even know what it was called at that moment, but that was the first time I fully surrendered something over to God. And then that was probably in like September, October. By November, I found out I might be getting out of the military. By January, I found out I was pregnant. In April, we were moving across the country to Vegas.
Okay.
And I was
the naked yelling session worked.
Yes. And I was like, wait a second.
Okay.
I didn't know my entire life was going to change though, God. Well, like, I just want a baby.
I mean, you stripped down, girl. So it worked.
So when I got to Vegas, I didn't know anybody. We had lived in Virginia for 5 years. I had a good community there. I knew people. So when I got there, I was like, all right, I need to find people. I don't know who I am without the military. I'm no longer Sergeant Peterson. I'm just Jeanette, the dependent girl who has a baby. So I found a church. I learned that church, because I'd always been jaded about what church means. Church was like these perfect people doing these perfect things. And it had never been about the relationship with God that I had seen. And so now I was seeing people fail, have a relationship, get saved, going through repentance, and what that really actually looked like with people my age that were just trying and just doing the things and working on a relationship with God. And so after that, I was like, oh, wait a second. I can do this. This is not perfection. Mm-hmm. This is progress. This is relationship. So I started doing that. And then I was like, I'm going to work for God. So I started working in the church. I started doing that. And I was like, these people don't actually want me to work in the church. And it just progressed into moonlighting, working for God, then finally giving it all up and being like, okay, I'm just going to be used by whatever God wants me to do, however he wants me to do.
It's like a full surrender. So there's a few things that I'm noticing and I would love to get your perspective on. I mean, let's go back to, I felt like God called me into the military. So on the one hand, it sounds like you as a young student kind of limited your options, right? If you're saying, I didn't really go to school, I didn't really like move. So sometimes we limit our own selves. However, you knew I'm going to get out of here and God called me to the military. So how do you know, like looking back on it at this point, like how would you describe God calling you somewhere and how sure you were at that point? I mean, were there kind of signs or how was he speaking to you? A gut feeling? What was that like?
Yeah. So then I had already been saved. Like I had went through the process when I was like 13 or 14, I was saved. And so I kind of knew good. Like we were that guy I knew, but he was not like, I'm not following him closely. Right. Mm-hmm. So in that point I was like, I was just feeling like this isn't it. These people are not the people that I'm going to be with forever. It just felt like contentious almost, like two plates rubbing together and we were having like this friction. And I was like, this is not forever. I don't know what that looks like. And so I kept trying to like go to college. I applied for actual schools and stuff and I got rejected. So I was like, okay, what's next? So I tried the community college and the math wasn't mathing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well then what if I went to the military? Cause I had all these friends that I knew that were joining the military. And one guy was like, yeah, let's do it together. It's going to be awesome. And he took the test and he got like a 5 on the ASVAB or something, which I didn't know was possible. And I got like an 80. And our recruiter was like, you don't need to worry about him anymore. You've got something that we can do, but he's going to have to go figure out his own thing. And I was very dependent on other people at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified to go do something by myself. But I was really encouraged by him saying, you can do this. This is going to be a good future for you. Like, and I was just feeling like these are the answers to the questions that I've been asking. Mm-hmm. These are the things that it's not hard. I'm not like stressing about this. And looking back, I realized that that's how God works. Mm-hmm. He will start to shut doors and give you an open door to where you're supposed to go. If you're really trying to find that door, if you're really looking for it.
Okay. So God calls you into the military, opens this door, shuts the other doors. And then... Yes. You mentioned this was like the worst toxic relationship ever, right? So, and then you mentioned being mad at God. Like, okay, what gives? You called me into this thing. I'm completely leaving it battered, bruised, like picking myself up off the floor. So, and then you said I was mad at God. How, like, what does your theology look like now? What does your relationship look like now? How do you begin to understand who God is? And that calling on your life, even in the midst of pain and tragedy and honestly abuse.
Yeah. So then I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. But now looking back, I'm like, if I had lived in that same town my entire life and only knew these types of people, I wouldn't be able to relate to different people. In the military, you're around all different types of people from all different walks of life and all sorts of different things. So I met people from Guam, which I didn't even realize was a country because I was just so ignorant to geography. I met people from Alaska and all these different places where I would have never organically met them where I was from. Although where I lived was pretty diverse. Like there were Mexicans and Asians and white people and all the things, but it was not like this. And so now on the other side, I'm able to relate to so many different people in so many different places and can really connect with them on where they are to show them what God's kingdom can look like. Because if I hadn't gone through that, if I hadn't had those sexual assaults and been healed from it now, I wouldn't be able to relate. I wouldn't have the empathy. I wouldn't know what it's like. But also I can use that as my testimony to say, yes, that happened to me, but I'm not still in that pit because God lifted me out. I didn't do anything myself. It's not me. I didn't fix myself. God showed me how to heal. He brought me the people. And that is also available for you. You can have true healing. You can have true life after those incidents and be used by God. God wants to use you and all of those things. It's not just like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be polished. You just have to be wanting to be used by God, and he will use you no matter where you are, what happened to you, what your story is, what it looks like. And I can be a testimony to that.
Amazing. Obviously you're still in the military because your husband's still with the Air Force. How do you feel about it now? Like, you personally, I don't know what you can say. I'm like, wait a minute. This is public interview. So FYI, but
yeah, but I'm unapologetic. Like it, I mean, it was a hard thing to go through, but I would not change it. I would still go back to the military. I would still have those things happen because I can be used by God. And it is not a bad thing. There are bad people. You have bad leadership sometimes, but overall, I want to think that the military itself is trying to be a good beacon for people that can't go to college, for people who are underprivileged, for people who don't have the income to do other things, to get a way ahead, right? Like, it can still be used for that. It's still redemptive. It still has redemptive qualities. And so I think that when you are in the military, don't get sucked into that being your entire identity. That was my problem. I identified with that as my only identity, and that's all I was worth. And so when that happened, it kind of messed up my head. But now I'm good because I know my identity is not who I was. My identity is in Jesus. My identity is who he created me to be. And so once you get to that part, the true identity, then I think it's okay. Like, just don't go into it thinking that that is your entire life. Yeah. That's all I would say.
Interesting. Do you feel like as a woman who's still connected to the military, and given what you've experienced, has God called you into any space of justice or voice, or is it kind of like that happened in the past and I'm not connected in that world really anymore?
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm connected in that world anymore. Not as like an advocate or anything like that. I feel like God does want me to, like, I worked with all men. I was in cyber. I was, like I said before, I was GM of a Jiffy Lube, all men. Like, I feel like he used that time for me to identify with men and to understand men, to truly let women know who they can be. Because without knowing who men are and how men can act and seeing how men sometimes can skew how they want women to be, redeeming what a woman is supposed to be according to the Bible and how God has called us to be and how we can be who we are. It doesn't have to be, there's no like template to be like, you have to be Junie Cleaver or whatever her name is. Like, you don't have to do that. Like,
Junie, love it.
There's differences. Yes. We can be whoever.
Exactly.
However God called us.
Exactly.
To be. So I feel like I do still have like ties to that community, obviously, but it's different.
Okay. Okay. So speaking of women and who they're all they're created to be, you are the founder of All the King's Women, right?
Yes.
So tell us more about that. And what do we need to know as women, who we are?
All the King's Women is a community of women who are trying to just be who God called them to be. And I feel like when we are the fullest version of ourselves, right? Whether it be outspoken or maybe even from the pulpit, if that's where God calls you to, I want you to be whoever God called you to be and not be scared of a man, like not a man, but mankind, be scared of mankind and their judgment and their reasons for telling you, you have to be small. Because when you play small, it contracts you. And when you're contracted, you feel uneasy. You don't feel like yourself. You feel like you can't be the fullest version of yourself. And that's not who God called you to be. He called you to write that book. He called you to speak on that stage. And if he called you, he will equip you. So being able to be used by God, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to homeschool. Like, I homeschool. It means that you're supposed to do everything he has for you. And he will make a way for it to happen. But I don't think you should restrict yourself or put yourself in a box because other people have put you in a box. So it's like releasing that. Like all of us are in business in some capacity. We're all affecting the kingdom in some capacity. And then using our individual gifts to stay in that zone of genius, right? So like if my zone of genius is tech and automation, I don't want to be in healing ministry. Do I think it's important? Of course I do. But that's not my jam. I'm going to find you a girl that is in healing ministry and you get hooked up with her. But we're all in community to spread that and be like, okay, well, you need to go to her. You need to go to her. You need to go to her. And like just being that community, that hands and feet and equipping them for what they need to do to go out in the world and yes. spread the gospel.
Yes. I'm smiling because every time I take the spiritual gifts inventory, speaking in like kind of zone of genius and where you are, I score the lowest on helps and mercy. And I'm like, oh gosh. Especially being a woman in the church, it's like you're supposed to help all the time. I'm like, I'm not a helper. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to send you to somebody else who has the gift of mercy. So anyway, yeah. So it's fun to see that. But when you think about, so I think listening to this, and I'm obviously tracking with you 100%, like don't play small, be all God's called you to be. You are, you know, you have the power and authority of Jesus in you. What have you seen or what are you seeing that is the friction, that's the rub, that's the challenge for women to truly step into that? If you could think of like one or two or three things that are like, man, notice this stumbling block. This is what's getting in the way of a lot of people, a lot of women specifically rising up.
Conditioning. They've been conditioned since young children to act a certain way, be a certain way. And I'm not saying that you're not supposed to be polite. I'm not saying that. But it's like the righteous way of being bold and speaking out. I'm not saying be rude and all the things, but also then they swing to the pendulum and they are just like totally outspoken on all the things. I don't think you should do that either. You need to figure out what God has called you to do and what your mantle is, right? Like I could speak out on women's rights or abortion or any of these things, but I don't think God has called me specifically to affect those things. And so I just stay in my lane of bringing women into the kingdom and spreading the kingdom through business, because that's where I feel like God has called me to. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I will always speak out about. But some things I just can't.
That's going to be the theme for this podcast. I just can't. And when you say mantle, like when I hear you say that, what I think is sort of like the thing that you are uniquely positioned to carry as a human being, as you yourself, like we have kind of the universal mandate of God to love God and love his people.
Yes.
Within that, there's all kinds of unique ways that he says, okay, this is how you're going to do it. This is why there's spiritual gifts. This is why you use the term zone of genius. So how have you discovered your mantle, and how do you advise other women to do that? If they're like, what, how would I even know what I'm uniquely positioned to carry?
I do this process called the Holy Spirit Blueprint. And through that process, it's a little bit prophetic, meaning I ask God to show them the gifts that they have and all the things. And I will ask poignant questions. And some of the questions are, what did you love to do as a child that you feel like is no longer of use to you that you wish you could still do? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like jigsaw puzzles. I love jigsaw puzzles. I'm very introverted. I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell talking to me, but I'm very introverted. I love like nerd stuff. I don't know if you guys can see it, but I've got like Legos and I've got like Star Wars stuff.
I mean, you are in cybersecurity after all. So
yes, right? Huge nerd. So I love that stuff. And so solving complex problems is something I love to do. And so I was like, how can I solve those problems, but for the kingdom of God? Because he's not going to use anything that you've gone through to... He's going to use it all, rather. He's going to use everything you've gone through. So it's part of what did you love to do as a kid where it didn't matter? Who have you been around and assigned to in your life? Who's always asking you questions? Who's always coming to you and wanting guidance from you?
And what are they asking you about, right? Like, what are they like, hey, you might know, you're good at this. Yeah.
Right. And so they're seeing that in you because that's part of your gifting. Your gifting never goes away. You might use it for different things, but your gifting is always assigned to you. And so like, that's part of it too. And who are you assigned to? Right. So that part and how you're going to do it and the how can always change. Right. Mm-hmm. So like when I was in the military, I was using my gifting, by helping people with the Booster Club and like showing them how to make more money and doing all those things. So that entrepreneurial gift was always there, but I didn't know it was supposed to be also used for Christ, because I didn't understand that then. But it's always going to be used. You will see the patterns throughout your life of how God has been using you and what you've been drawn to and how you've been successful in different things. Yes. So those are the things that are really going to help you figure out, what is my mantle? What is my calling? How am I supposed to use it? And it is very unique to you. You will have people that you need to help. It might change throughout your life specifically, right? But it's always going to be used for God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that word conditioning is very interesting for us to sit and think about, okay, what are the ways that we've been culturally conditioned through society and also through the church? I mean, there is church conditioning. And so I think it behooves a lot of us to kind of go back and be like, okay, what was, you know, I don't think anything is a binary, like all good or all bad, right? Like, oh my gosh, right. I don't think that's fair, but I think we can go back and be like, what was my family of origin? What was the conditioning, especially for women in my family, the church, if you grew up in a church, what was the conditioning for women in the church? And what is God kind of deconstructing there and saying, okay, this is a voice that was over your life, or a perspective that was over your life, but is no longer, it's not true for you. So let's bless and release it, forgive who you need to forgive, and move forward, not hold on to it in pain. So I think one other thing in regards to conditioning that keeps women stuck is disappointment, fear of failure, fear of disappointing other people. And I think conditioning is, what are other people going to think? I don't know if men deal with that as much as women. What do you think?
I don't think they do. Yeah. And also, like, when the conditioning is created, I don't think it's created out of like meanness or badness or trying to hurt people.
It's,
I think
kind
it's
of all
created,
I know.
I think it was right. Mm-hmm. Or they're trying doing it for safety, right? Mm-hmm. When I think about the Mormon society and they've got all these rules on like drinking and caffeine and all these different things, I think that it was created because they knew that it would keep people safe. You would have less sin this way and all these things. But the rules become skewed and it becomes more about the rules and less about the relationship, right?
Yeah.
So I think it starts off good, but then it just gets skewed into, it's performance-based, or you have to do it like this and that's the only way to be, and that's not the truth. It's, what is God calling me specifically to, versus, okay, maybe for me, drinking is fine, but maybe it's not fine. You know what I'm saying? That's a conversation you'd have with God. That's a you with God, you with him bringing you to where you need to be, kind of thing.
And absolutely a discernment of Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because the more we grow in our spiritual formation and really connecting with the Lord, I think he will begin to start to put those little Holy Spirit nudges in your heart and in your mind. And if things, and I would love to hear from you how the Lord speaks to you, but I feel like when something is in your mind and you didn't plan on thinking of that thing, like maybe you have been drinking too much and the Holy Spirit's like, maybe pull back. And you're like, nah, I don't need to pull back. It's fine. Okay. Ask God about it. Is he asking you to pull back for a specific reason? Is it compromising your highest destiny? And I feel like that's the thing. What I've gone to counseling now for, I don't know, 12, 15 years. And a lot of times my counselor's always saying, like, your mantle is to live your highest calling on this earth. So are there things, and it's going to be different for each one of us, that are potentially dulling that, numbing that, yeah, just clouding that highest destiny? And I'd be curious for you, what does that look like for you? Like, how have you navigated kind of your highest destiny? And are there things that the Holy Spirit's been like, okay, Jeanette, we're going to take a break for this from the season? Or how has he refined you over time?
Yeah. I think that's a great question. And I think that it started off, I don't think God is ever going to wipe off everything and it's like all or nothing. You have to do all or nothing right away. But he has constantly been refining me. Before I got pregnant, I smoked cigarettes. So as soon as I got pregnant, I stopped smoking. But I was in the military, and military people like to drink and they like to cuss a lot. Like, it's just part of the culture of the military. And so after I had my babies, I was still drinking on the weekends or having a glass of wine here and there. And God told me, not for you. Like, it's not a sin necessarily for every single person, but for you and where I'm taking you, you have to stop that. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop that. I had to stop eating carbohydrates in the way that I was eating them because God was like, no, I need your body to be as lean as possible to endure the things I'm going to have you go through, which is speaking on stages or going here and traveling. I need you to be less weight. It's not that you're fat or out of shape for society. It's for where I'm taking you. Your body has to be different than it is right now. So I stopped eating carbohydrates. I started working out. I've been drinking my water. Another thing that he had me do was stop watching all the trashy TV shows that were fun to watch. So no more Real Housewives, no more Love is Blind.
No more Love Island, none of those shows. All my kids are
no more Love Island.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The world is addicted.
So I can't watch that stuff. It's just, he's like, no, that is going to ruin your psyche and your spirit and your soul in a way that I need you to be more clean for. So it's not that I don't think those shows are bad for everybody. It's not black and white. It's not religious of you can't watch this if you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. It's for me, Jeanette, I can't do those things anymore. I can't read those books that everybody wants to read anymore. I can't do any of those things. And it's because of where God's taking me. And so where God is taking me, he wants me to be clean of heart. He wants me to be pure because I feel like he's going to have me shepherding people. And so if I'm shepherding people, I can't be dirty. I have to be the example. So I have to clean myself up and I have to be that person. Yeah. And so maybe for the person that's listening to this, they're like, oh, God has been, I have been feeling like I shouldn't be doing this. That's probably God's nudging of saying, I want you to clean up. Yeah. And when he's disciplining you like that, it's not because he wants to hurt you or because you're bad or anything like that. It's because he wants to trust you with more. He wants to give you more. He wants to give you more influence, more impact, more income, whatever that is for your life and how you're supposed to affect the kingdom. But I really feel like that's what he's doing. So you feel those nudges in your heart and I'm like, oh, I can't do that. Or you feel bad afterward. You feel a little bit guilty. You feel that conviction. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have been doing that. And so that's how he
does. Yeah. And it's so common for us as human beings to go, did God really say? I mean, that's all the way back to the garden, you know, of Eden. Did God really say you can't eat of that fruit? And so I think when the Holy Spirit convicts our flesh of something, our flesh is going to fight and say, well, did God really say? Is it really that big of a deal? And way back when I kind of had my transformational moment about, you know, a decade or more ago, Romans chapter 8 just became kind of a lifeline for me, especially the Romans 8 kind of verse 6-7 in there, where the flesh brings death and the spirit brings life. And so that's one of the litmus tests, if you will, that I've been using. It's like, okay, is this thing bringing, ultimately, if I play out the trajectory of this thing in my life, is it bringing death? Maybe it could lead to physical death. I mean, smoking cigarettes certainly could, right? Over drinking certainly could. But is it bringing spiritual death? Is it bringing emotional death? Like even the shows that you're watching, you are not physically going to die if you watch some of those shows, but are you kind of killing a bit of your mental and emotional and spiritual health? If the answer is yes, then you kind of go, ooh, maybe we're pulling back from that and you give that a try. The spirit brings life. So what are those things? What are those relationships? What are those ways to spend time? And it's not like we constantly need to be sort of legalistically spending our time. I mean, I think sitting in your hammock and just spending time with the Lord, just taking a nap, that's a great way to spend your time. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be look a certain way. And I think one of the conditionings, and I've had this on the show as well before with some other interviews, that the American church specifically has programmed us toward is legalism. Is, you mentioned behavior modification earlier in some certain denominations and certain churches, like, hey, don't do this, don't do that. This is how you become a good Christian. And I think what we're talking about and what we've both experienced is it's not about behavior modification. It's about living by the Spirit and honoring the Lord and trusting that he's got a unique mantle, a unique plan and purpose for you. And so how can you be, as Paul said, you know, in his letters, running your race? If you need to run your race, you got to be fit. Again, it's not some perfect like photoshopped magazine cover of some skinny little lady. It's not that. It's like, what does it look like for you personally to be fit physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? That's going to let God inform that for you. So when you think about hearing God's voice, and this is one thing I love to talk about the show and all the time, how do you, like, when do you remember hearing his voice for the first time? It might have been calling you into the military. And how does he speak to you now? I love to give people kind of a picture of the ways that God speaks, what you need to be paying attention to and being like, okay, I think this is the voice of God in my life. So what has that looked like for you over time?
I think at the beginning, like, I think I was like 13 when I got saved. I didn't understand it. I didn't really know what it was, mm-hmm. but I would like have these gut responses of like, oh, I think that this is I'm supposed to do this. I don't know. And I would just try things and like kind of like feel it out. But it's almost like a muscle, right? So after I got out of the military and I was like really going to church and really seeking after God and feeling out who he is and like who I am and all those different questions, mm-hmm. it would be like confirmations. It would be like, I would see something in his word and then I would hear it again on the pulpit, or I would hear it again, somebody else say something similar to it. And I'd be like, oh, wait a second, these patterns, maybe this is God. And like, oh, maybe I need to like listen to this more. Maybe I need to pay attention to this more. And now he doesn't have to do all the confirmations with me because he knows that I'm listening. He knows that I understand his voice, mm-hmm. but it's really just tuning into that God frequency, if you will. And like hearing somebody say something and being like, oh, I need to hear that from God. Oh, that's from God. And I almost get like this, sometimes it's a thing in my stomach, like a gut response, or sometimes it's like a tingle in the back of my head, almost like a, you know, your fingers get numb and you have that tingle. It's almost like that, a tingle in my head. And I'm like, oh, that's Holy Spirit. I need to be paying attention to this. Mm-hmm. So it's changed throughout the years. At first it was, maybe this is God, trusting my gut. And then it was, okay, I'm hearing it more than once. And now it's just, I know.
Yeah.
Like it's, I know that's yeah. God.
And I love the idea of physical responses. I feel like I've learned that over time as well. And for example, I'll be sitting in a meeting or a small group of some kind, and the fleshly part of me would be like, okay, Megan, I think it's time. Maybe you need to participate. You need to say something wise, ask a good question. And that would be me kind of wrestling with my flesh about my participation in whatever group. Right. But over time, I feel like I've calmed down a little bit. And I just think if I don't have a thought that feels real important and my body feels pretty calm, I'm like, I'll just sit and listen. I don't need to position myself to look a certain way in a group.
Yeah.
But if my heart starts to race or I feel a little bit flush in the cheeks, I'm like, okay, I think the Holy Spirit is heightening something that needs to come out, a thought. And so I will be like, okay, now's the time to speak. So I love the fact that you mentioned like some sort of little, you know, tingle in your head or in your fingers. I mean, it could just be that you're dehydrated. So maybe he's just saying, go drink some water, which he's told me. Drink water. That's a big thing for me right now. But pay attention to those physical sensations, because it can be something is coming up that needs to come out and be addressed, be talked about. And now you have a gut. You have a gut feeling and you've learned to trust your gut, that God's speaking in your gut. I love that so much. Now your show is called Unapologetically Unstoppable. So it is a mouthful. Yes. But tell me, what does that mean to you? Like, who are you speaking to? And why is that important for us to be hearing that message of being unapologetic, unstoppable?
Yeah. So like being unapologetic is more about being unapologetic to who God called you to be. Like, how do you become so convinced and so like seated in who God has created you to be? That's what it's about. Like, how do you become fully you? How do you become fully who God has created in that whole version of you? And then being unstoppable means like going after it. Like maybe it's in your business, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in any relationships that you have, but what does that look like? And so it's right now we're going through a series of kingdom business entrepreneurs and kingdom business owners. And like, what does that look like to be a kingdom business owner versus just say Christian business owner? Because I feel like when you're in the kingdom is more about, it's different. It's just, it's the backwardsness. Mm-hmm. It's the, what does the world say? What does God say? And like really going back to the Bible and like studying those different kings in the Bible and saying, okay, this is the way this king did it. Let me mirror that. Maybe I should need to be more like Joseph and just sit down for a minute and just sit in jail and not try and push myself to, like you were saying, to elevate myself, mm-hmm. but letting God elevate me. Maybe it is a season of me just sitting here and doing this thing because God has told me to, and what that looks like and the hardness of that and going through what that looks like. So I just love talking to other business owners. Sometimes it's just me giving lessons that I've learned about being in business, being unapologetic, repentance. We talk about repentance. We talk about healing. We talk about deliverance. We talk about everything you can think of. If it's in the Bible, we kind of talk about it. If it's in business, we kind of talk about it. So AI, like emails,
absolutely. All the things. And I mean, the word kingdom is so powerful. And I remember when I was starting my coaching business, life coaching business, and I was really working on, you know, messaging and titling and things like that. And I was like, Christian life coach. I just was like, oh my gosh, I cannot call myself that. Are you a Christian? Yes. Christian life coach? Technically, yes. But I don't want to lead with that. And so Kingdom Life Coaching, which is the title of this podcast, and Kingdom Life Coach, which is what I position myself as a mentor and a guide right now in business, is like the kingdom of God. Like Jesus doesn't say Christian life is like, or Christianity is like. He says the kingdom of God is like, and then he goes into all these nuanced sort of poetic metaphors that we're still trying to figure out, like yeast and leaven and, you know, all kinds of things. But yeah, pay attention. What is the kingdom of God like? And what is God calling you to in his kingdom? What's your role? What's your mantle? What's your unique spot? And I think you and I, we probably connect so well because we're passionate about that, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So what do we need to know as women? I mean, kind of as we close up here, I would love to hear from Jeanette, the prophetic voice. What are you sensing and feeling in the spirit that maybe is for, could be for an individual, maybe it's more corporately for women, but what do you sense God's doing in the earth right now? And what do we need to be paying attention to?
I think right now God is really highlighting and showing people what the kingdom is versus what the kingdom is not. Mm. A lot of people are out there saying, if you're a Christian, you should not do this. If you're a Christian, you should vote this way, X, Y, and Z. And God is not black and white like that. God will elevate who needs to be in charge. For, I'm not saying don't vote. Go vote. Do your civic duty. Go vote. I was in the military. Go vote, please. but I feel like that is not the hill we die on. The hill we die on is the kingdom of heaven. We die on love. Like, what does that look like? Emotional intelligence for ourselves so we can be more emotionally intelligent to help other people and to guide and for wisdom and all of those things. So what I want you to do, ladies, is just go back to the Bible. Go back to the Proverbs 31 woman. Look at all of the things that she held. And if you feel like God is showing you that you need to do one of those things, go do that. Be more present in your home. Be more present online if God is calling you that way. But just do it for yourself. Don't ask anybody else. You and the Holy Spirit, because that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what I think about what you should do in business. It doesn't matter what Megan thinks you should do in business. But it does matter what God thinks. So go back to what that looks like and go find out what God thinks that you should be doing and go try and do that thing.
I love it. Okay, that's perfect homework, by the way. For anybody listening to this, is like, okay, when you're done listening to this episode, first of all, share it with a woman that you love and that you feel like God is calling. You see, either encourage her as you see her walking in her calling, or someone that you've seen a vision of her calling. What could that be? So send this to her and say, hey, I see God pulling this out of you. I see you walking in this way. And then go grab your Bible, you know, get a cup of coffee or tea if you want to, and read Proverbs 31 with a pen or a highlighter in hand. And like Jeanette said, ask Holy Spirit to speak to you. And sometimes when I read that passage, I'm like, oh my gosh, like what, how, you know, that isn't that the, like, how could you do all that? Like, that's like, it's like the Pinterest mom, the Etsy mom. You're like, okay, no, we're not doing that. But you're saying, in some ways, I feel like the Proverbs 31 woman isn't one woman. It's actually the mantle of women in the kingdom of God. And so it's all of us collectively, we're connected. It's not like, oh, never mind all you ladies, I'm the Proverbs 31 woman, so I got it covered. You don't need to go do anything. I'm sending out ships left and right. I'm homeschooling my kids. No, what are you, Jeanette, doing? What is Megan doing? What is, you know, our neighbor down the street doing? Like, we together are the Proverbs 31 women. So which part of it is Holy Spirit highlighting for you? That's like, take that, pay attention to that, walk in that, and see what doors he opens. Back to the beginning of our conversation was like, what doors are opening for you? What doors are kind of weirdly closing that you thought was like a no-brainer, but it's not opening. So ask him to speak into that. So as we close up, Jeanette, what are you asking the Lord about right now? Like, what's something that you're praying about and asking him to speak into that you actually don't know the answer to, or don't know necessarily the right step, and you're asking him for guidance?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the next step for me is I'm teaching this bootcamp that's coming up. It's called Kingdom Warrior Bootcamp. I'm like, God, is it all women? Is it business women? You asked me at the beginning, like, who are you serving right now? Is it business or is it women? And I'm like, I don't know, God. Like, you just bring to me who it is. So that's kind of what I'm asking right now.
That's good.
Who, God, are you assigning me to?
Okay.
All of the women? I don't know.
Okay, there you go. And so if somebody's interested in this, how could they find out more?
They could go to JeanettePeterson.com, and it's on the front page of there. They can go to, and they can find out the Kingdom Warrior Bootcamp, because it's really about being consecrated, sharing your gifts and all the things we talked about, mm-hmm. really, but getting really disciplined in all of those things and asking God to
And
show
are
us
you
what
still
that is.
In the tech space? So if somebody has a vision, yes. has a passion, is like, I want to build this business, or I can see how I can engage with people in ministry, business, but I don't know how. I don't know how to set up a website or an email list or what. I'm just making up tasks, but I have to do all those things. Are you offering those kind of services still?
I have a team now that is doing the services. We are creating a platform where you just come with your idea. Okay. We do it all for you. So that way you don't have to worry about those pieces and you can stick to your zone of genius.
Love it. Okay. Jeanette, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Will you do us an amazing favor and pray us out as we close up?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Father God, I just am so excited about every person that is listening to this podcast, every person that's under the sound of our voices, and that you have assigned to listen to this message. Lord, I know that you're going to do big things in their life. I know that you are going to change their world. And by world, I mean everybody that they are affecting and the ripple effects of that, Lord. I know that you are here to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, Lord. And we are just part of that, Lord. So help everybody who hears this continually to be surrendered, be consecrated, and to live their life in a way that glorifies you above all. Lord, I'm so excited for everything that you're doing, Lord, here on earth, and that we get to be part of your story, Lord, that you are not just a person that we get to talk to on sometimes, Lord, but that we are part of your divine message and your divine story for the earth. Lord, I thank you for all of that, Lord. And I ask you to bless Megan abundantly in all the things that she's doing, Lord, and to give her wise vision and to give her wisdom and to give her everything that she needs in order to continually live out your calling for her life. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Jeanette, I before we go, I just want to say thank you. Truly, thank you for your service. And I'm just really sorry that that happened to you. You know, I think those of us that have not been specifically in the military or experiencing what you have, we can take it for granted, you know? And so here you are, a real person, a real friend, saying, I laid it all on the line for this country, for you. So thank you. Thank you for your husband, what he's doing. And we see you and we're thankful for that. And I don't want to take our military men and women for granted. So there you go. Thanks, girl. Okay. We'll see how God connects us again in the future.
Amen.
All right. Love you. See ya. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. You might be wondering, well, now what? Let me offer a few suggestions. Number one, who were you thinking about while you were listening to this episode? If someone crossed your mind because you think this would inspire, challenge, or encourage them, share it right now. Number two, if you think it's worth other people's time to find and listen to this show, please head to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, rate us and leave a review. It will help people around the world know if it's worth their time to come hang out with us. And number three, if you are ready to get aligned with the voice of God, anchored in your identity in Christ, and activated in your next bold step of faith, head to my website, meganbnilsen.com. You can read about my books, see any courses I'm offering, and most importantly, schedule your free 30-minute curiosity and connection call today. Let's keep this conversation going. Hey everyone, I have a question for you. Does your mind ever feel like a tangled hot mess of what ifs and endless overthinking? You are definitely not alone. That's exactly why I wrote Untangled Faith, How Honest Conversations with God
lead to deeper connections, clarity, and peace. This book is designed to help you learn how to hear God's voice, because does God speak to his people? If he does speak to his people, what does his voice sound like? And how do you know if what you're hearing when you journal or pray is God's voice or your voice? This book will give you practical tools and guided journaling prompts to help you find peace and direction so that you can hear his voice. Grab your copy of Untangled Faith, along with the companion journal, of course, at Amazon today. It is time to stop overthinking and start trusting that you can hear God's voice and live with spirit-led confidence. Get your copy of Untangled Faith at Amazon today.